We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Previously on Gresh and Keefe.
It's three total picks for one total pick. What are we doing? Why do we stop?
Well, no. What?
Did you get unplugged?
This is Gresh and Keefe.
Gone! Into the seats, a home run number one for Rappi. Gone! Enrique Hernandez has his first home run as a member of the Red Sox. The Red Sox have won their fourth straight.
Suck on it.
Andy Gresh.
Smith goes uppers on Ilya Samsonov to give Boston a two-goal lead with 3:05 to go.
You have to control what you can control. And, you know, if Ovechkin's going to shoot the puck and he's going to score, you know, it's the next shot. That's all you got to worry about, and that's all I'm worried about.
Rich Keefe.
That means get to four. Do they like Justin Fields? I don't think so. Do they like Trey Lance? I'm not sure.
Gresh and Keefe starts right now.
You guys are the worst.
Well, yeah.
Let's go.
On WEEI.
That's right, baby. All fired up for a Friday heading into the weekend. It has been 1 month today. Today is a month.
Happy 1 month anniversary.
How about
did
that?
Did you get me anything?
I did not. No, well, I should have gotten it. Maybe I'll spring for pizza today. Oh, I'm not eating any, but
yeah, okay.
I would watch us. Are we allowed to do that, by the way?
No, probably not.
Is that frowned upon?
Probably not.
We can do whatever we want.
Pizza?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Pizza?
Yeah.
All right. Relax.
Yeah, just leave us your debit card and we can do it.
Whatever you need.
I'll order online because I'm like Keith. I want those points.
That's right.
Yossi kept giving me his card, kept making me order food, he would just get tons.
Again, I mean, when you're dealing with like Diossi and people like that, like Wiggy, these former NFLers, Greg Hill, I mean, they got credit cards to choose from. You know, us rank and file jobbers, Ham and Eggers.
Give me my one card back.
That's right. We're not walking around with a bunch of credit cards. However, are the Boston Red Sox good? They win yesterday 7-3 down in Baltimore and ruin the home opener. I will say, it's trite. I get it. It's a little spite and malice-y, but there's always something about ruining someone's opening day. And the Red Sox were able to do that with the Baltimore Orioles last night. But Eddie Rodriguez pitched well, and we're trying to figure this team out. They lose the first three. They win the next four. They've had some good starting pitching. They're raking right now. So, Rich, what do we have on our hands?
We got a team that's in first place. You got a team that has won four in a row.
Crowing about that last night, too.
And he should, because if we're going to pile on him for being 0-3, because it's one of those, it's a long season. It's like, yeah, but we also do a show every day. And we're going to talk about the team. Like, that's the reality. All right, let me know when they play another 50 games, then we'll go back and talk about it. So we talk about it after these games, or certainly after a series. And when they lost the first three games of the season to what I thought was a horrible baseball team, and they lost in a variety of ways, right? That was sort of the big joke. They lost a game where they couldn't hit, they lost a game where they couldn't field, and they lost a game where they couldn't pitch. Like, pretty comical how they did it. And since then, they've won four in a row, and they've had some bright spots. The rotation, although, you know, it's not going to be confused with that 0-4 rotation, but they've had six guys, considering Eduardo Rodriguez made his debut last night, where, all right, they're giving you five innings. They're keeping you in the game. They're making it close. And I'll be honest, some of these relievers have actually been all right. Garrett Whitlock, who I think was a part of our game, Red Sox player or Hollywood actor when we were playing in the preseason, he looks pretty good. He goes out there, he shuts the door in the sixth and the seventh, and you're like, all right, this team's going to win four in a row. Because I always thought, even though the bats started really cold the first two games, I always thought that's a major league lineup.
Yep.
That's a good lineup. They're going to be able to score some runs. So even if their pitching is average or slightly above average, then maybe they will win some games. I still don't think it's, you know, a playoff team or anything like that, but at least they're going to be more entertaining and interesting to watch after that first series. We thought, all right, these guys are left for dead.
I'm with you on the real development for me the last four games has been that the bullpen has been able to come in and do their part.
Uh-huh.
But for a lot of people, I know it's going to be Eddie Rodriguez. And last night, yesterday afternoon here on WEEI, I should say, Eddie Rodriguez gave you five innings, four hits, three earned, seven strikeouts, through 79 pitches, and I'm sure, you know, we know there was the whole, okay, you're going to be on a pitch count.
Yeah, he wasn't
going to
go much further than that.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, Rich, even though he gave up three, I don't know how you can be anything but at least excited about what Eddie Rodriguez did, because we're waiting for the guy to stabilize the rotation, and that's the guy who at least might be able to give you the, okay, if we're in a three-game losing streak, Eddie Rodriguez is going to be on the mound.
Right.
Maybe he's the guy who's going to be able to turn it around for you, because he's the one guy that I think we can talk ourselves into believing in as a starter. We know what Nate Eovaldi is, and the other guys, come on, we're all crossing our fingers and hoping for the best.
Yeah, for sure. And it was kind of deflating right off the start because they score two runs, and then Rodriguez gives up a two-run tater, and you're like, oh, no. Like, here, because this guy is supposed to be your ace, however you want to classify that. But then he was able to settle into a groove, and he gave up one more home run later on. I think it was in the fourth inning. But he was able to settle down, and the Red Sox scored enough runs for him. And good. Like, they got a little bit of momentum going right here. And that's great to see, especially Rodriguez hasn't pitched in a major league game in forever. So it was like, we didn't really know what to expect, because even these guys last year's lost season, at least some of them played.
Oh, that's right.
You know, we haven't seen Rodriguez in a long time.
So what, end of 19 that he had pitched, right? Because he was toast last year.
Didn't pitch at all last year.
Man.
And I mean, I don't know how many of the guys really played or took it seriously last year, but like, whatever. but still, they were out there. So it's just been a long time for this guy. And he pitched in the spring, and he looked all right. And then he had the dead arm, and you're like, oh, God, the dead arm? Like, what is this? How long is he going to be out? He misses a turn in the rotation, but then he comes back, and he looked pretty good. So, you know, one time through, we've seen all these guys. I think with the exception of Garrett Richards, I kind of, you know, the staff's all right.
And there's a couple of things that are developing within the lineup. J.D. Martinez is one of the five hottest hitters in baseball to start the year. He went 2-for-5 again last night, hitting .433. And Christian Vasquez,
one of the better hitting catchers in baseball. He
absolutely.
Is.
And it's funny because I know that we're going to get into all the quarterback stuff and you try to balance stats and things like that. Like, if I have a catcher that can hit, I don't know, maybe 15 home runs and hit .250 in modern day baseball, I will take that.
Yeah.
Right now, Christian Vasquez is hitting .458. So ride that wave, baby.
No, he is.
Because we know it's going to go down, and that's not an indictment on the player. It's just, you know, play to the back of the baseball card. But if this guy can hit, you know, if he has a year, Rich, where he hits .20 with .275, that's more production than you would have expected out of that spot.
Oh, for sure. And I think, you know, you see Devers hit a home run yesterday, too, and hopefully he can get going because he had maybe the slowest start of all the regulars, but I still think they're going to score plenty of runs. I think when all this kind of settles back in, you know, I think some of it, maybe it was honestly the cold weather. I know it's an excuse, but the cold weather, you see a lot of times the bats also don't really get going until, you know, a little bit later in the summer or whatever else. But the reality is, I think they're going to score plenty of runs. It's just going to be on that pitching staff. And I think each week you're going to say, all right, is like the bullpen. The bullpen's good right now. Is it going to be good all year? Or is this just sort of like a hot start for these guys? Or is it the batters on the other side that haven't caught up to it yet? Or what is it going to, is that eventually going to find its level? Because if you're talking about the back of the baseball card thing, it's not exactly a whole bunch of proven guys in the rotation or in the bullpen.
Do you think if Eddie Rodriguez becomes consistent and they have issues on the back end, that will embolden the Red Sox to employ that opener strategy? Because it's, well, if we got Eddie going, we can pencil him in for five or six innings most nights. So if the opener pitches the day before he does, we're still going to be okay. Like, does his success tie into that philosophy?
No, I don't think you need to do it. And I know Chaim Bloom was talking the other day about how they, believe it or not, have more starters than they need, whereas last year you didn't have any. Like, last year you had no starters. Uh-huh. They were all hurt. Rodriguez was shut down, Sale was shut down, so they didn't even have Sale. And Tanner Houck's a guy who I think eventually will be in the rotation. He will stay in the rotation, and I don't think you need to use the opener because you have Rodriguez, you have Eovaldi, you have Nick Pivetta, and then, you know, Martin Perez and Garrett Richards. I think one of those guys will either get hurt or one of those guys will either just get shelled eventually, and then they'll make room for Tanner Houck. And then it allows the bullpen guys to be just that. hey, you know, Garrett Whitlock, you're going to come in the sixth or the seventh. You don't need to start every fifth day or come in the second inning every fifth day. I think that was probably, at least my hope, is that was something they did last year because of necessity and sort of the whole reset year and kind of a lost year, whereas this season they don't need to do that.
It feels like we're getting ready for a roller coaster ride. 0-3, 4-0.
Right.
I'm not saying it's going to be that wild a swing, but I don't think this is going to be, you know, like riding the kiddie coaster where you're just going up and down a little bit.
No.
We're going to be on the Great American Scream Machine. For those of you who've ever been to Six Flags, that's a great one. This is going to be the Great American Scream Machine this year because, and we've even got people texting into 37937 where it's like, oh, they sucked in the beginning and now they're great. No. I think that there's reason to be optimistic given what we've seen. And Eddie Rodriguez has to be a key piece of any success the Red Sox have. And I think that's why, for those who want to believe in this team, that's why yesterday was important because it was, wow, okay, if Eddie Rodriguez can give us some semblance of that, maybe we got a chance here and it could stabilize that rotation. So I don't think you and I are sitting here and being like, you know,
playoffs are back on.
Crack assist, boom, bah, Red Sox, rah, rah, rah. I don't think there's that.
No.
But you have to acknowledge that they've absolutely done a good job in the face of adversity of being like, okay, let's figure, come on, boys.
Well, I think a lot of people were ready to just write them off after the first three-game series, and I think it was because last year was so bad. Even 2019 wasn't great either.
No.
But 2018, you win a World Series and one of the best teams you've ever had, and then you kind of gutted a lot of that roster. Like, look at the guys that played in the World Series in 2018 and how many of them are no longer on the roster. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. And all right, how are they going to get people's interest? How are you going to pay attention? And you have to win. Like, it's as simple as that. And
right.
So after that first series, you're like, oh, my God. Not only did you lose three in a row, but it was who you played on top of it and how you lost all those games. So they're not going to win everybody back right away, but ripping off four straight wins, getting back to a winning record, that'll help. And now you kind of push this forward. And let's face it, Baltimore, even though they beat you, they still suck. So you have more games with them here. You're able to take care of business there. The longer that you kind of stay towards the top or relevant, that's great news.
Hang around, baby. That's what we're asking for, hanging around. No Red Sox baseball today because, of course, when you have the home opener, you build in the rain out day. So it'll be Saturday night, Red Sox baseball, right here on WEEI and the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Hey, again, the fastest growing show in Boston is us. It's also because we're the newest. That's but, hey, who cares? It's semantics.
It's fine.
Follow us on Twitter, at Gresh Keefe, at Keefe21, at The Real Gresh on Twitter. And, of course, follow the station at WEEI. A lot to get to today. We will get to you. But it's something that you and I, Rich, have talked about before as we shift to football. The reports are now out there. And I had mentioned this, and we had talked about what can you really expect from Julian Edelman, hearing that it's bone on bone in his knee and it isn't good. And now the report yesterday, I'd say all but confirms that he's really going to be either hobbled or unable to play in 2021. Now, given the roster construction,
right,
given the quarterback, as we know right now, which is likely to be Cam Newton until draft otherwise, is this a big deal? Like, in my mind, Rich, I was expecting this. I was expecting that this guy wasn't going to be able to go.
Yeah.
And something tells me that at Gillette, they were thinking the same thing.
It feels like they couldn't have been surprised by it. You know, just the way last year unfolded and, you know, his age, the number of injuries in this particular injury. And I think the way they went out in free agency and added two receivers on day one, added two tight ends in the early going. All right, if Aguilar, Bourne, Smith, and Henry are on the field with a running back, there's no room for anybody else anyway. And you still have Jacoby Myers. You still have, as of today, the project that is N'Keal Harry. And I wouldn't rule them out drafting another wide receiver. And even in the first 2 days of the draft, maybe second or third round, they'd have a receiver who could factor in. So it's one of those Edelman's a bonus type of thing. If Edelman gives you anything, it's a bonus, but you're not relying on it. You can't.
Well, here's the other thing, too. What is this offense going to become? Because when you and I first started a month ago, one of the first conversations that we had was, okay, what the hell is this? And
right.
Then all the signings started to come in,
right.
And it was like, oh, it kind of feels like they might be going back to a version of the Patriots offense in 2010, 2011 with the tight ends that can move around. But I'm wondering if the slot receiver, the way Edelman played it with Brady, is relevant to this offense anymore.
It may not be, especially if it's Cam Newton. That's not the throws that he was great at. You know, I know Edelman had the one game against Seattle where he had, believe it or not, the most receiving yards he's ever had in a game, which is kind of crazy. But
Seattle's defense couldn't stop us.
That, yeah, N'Keal Harry played well in that
Rich
game.
Rich Keefe in a Hobart uniform might have gotten 85 and four catches.
That's true. So that was sort of an outlier, obviously. But I think Cam Newton is going to rely more on probably the two tight ends and then maybe some of the deep passes that he was accustomed to doing. And I'm not saying he's a guy that has the greatest arm strength in the world, but he is somebody that would chuck the ball deep. Some of his best seasons, you know, Ted Ginn going deep, things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which isn't exactly an Edelman route. They would run it every so often, but that's not what he does. So I think, again, if they have him, McDaniels will figure out a way to use him, but they're probably going forward like, you know, we're not going to have Julian Edelman this year.
Here's what I wonder. Do they keep him around to be a mentor, a leader? You know, you don't want to completely rip all of the championship DNA out of the locker room, but, you know, do you just want to cut him, right?
And then feels like a pup list guy, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. It feels like they try to find a way to keep him around because, you know, this is where we get into the whole, well, you've outperformed your contract and, you know, they should just walk in and hand you X amount of money. I do wonder if this year it would be that, hey, man, this is your lifetime achievement award of paychecks here.
Right.
Because you've meant so much to us and the success of the organization. And is Julian going to be saying to Bill, hey, man, you know, if we're in it week 13, I might be able to give you like a month. So I wonder if Julian tries to like work Belichick to be like, hey, man, keep me around because if I can give you anything, if we're in it, I'm going to give it to you.
He strikes me as the guy that would never, ever, ever want to leave the game, like a guy that would be forced out of the game. And maybe that's what we're seeing right now. You know, whether it's a knee injury, a head injury, whatever. Like, I think that's what would, and he'd be begging to come back. And they'd be like, listen, you cannot play. So if he thinks he can come back later in the year, just from the little I know about him and just all, you know, everything we've heard about him, like, he's going to try to do that. And Belichick also loves him. Now, I don't know if Belichick has a soft spot in his heart for too many guys, but you did see he brought back James White. He brought back David Andrews. He brought back Lawrence Guy. He brought, you know, he re-signed McCourty a couple of years ago. Like, there are certain Belichick guys. Mm-hmm. And Edelman's on that list. Edelman's kind of, it's funny because Edelman's definitely a Brady guy. But he's also a Belichick guy. Like, he would do anything for Bill Belichick. And I think that relationship is an interesting one. And they can afford to keep him around on the pup list and see if he can come back in November or whatever, you know, week 8 or whatever the hell it is. So maybe that's what it's going
to
be.
If they cut him, is he go right to Tampa? Or is it like, hey, Tom, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get cut. I got plenty of money. I patterned myself after you. I got my JE11 burgers or whatever that he's selling, right? Whatever it is.
I thought he was going to go to Tampa, like, even last year.
Hey, man.
But it didn't happen.
Yeah. You know? $1 million week 13. Here you go, Tom. I'll be there for the final 8 games and give you a little security blanket. It does make you wonder if that guy does get released, if Edelman would try to. And who knows? Maybe another team wouldn't. Maybe he wouldn't pass a physical, and that's where Brady would have to go to Jason Light and be like, okay, I know, but you know this
we'll
guy,
take
too.
We'll
take him.
He's going to play.
The odds are out on where Panthers quarterback Teddy Bridgewater will play next year. Now, again, it's just degeneration bets. Okay. However,
yes,
Vegas and the betting people are normally pretty plugged in.
Sometimes they're right. One of the famous ones was Kawhi Leonard before he ended up on the Raptors. All of a sudden, in the few days prior to, you know, that trade with San Antonio, the Raptors were at the top of the board. And then the next thing you know, they were there. So Vegas was right about
Vegas
Kawhi
was
Leonard.
On it. Yeah. Okay, so the Panthers are the favorite at +150. So that means you're betting 100 to win 150 if you think he stays with the Panthers.
I do not think he's going to be on the Panthers.
I would agree with you. Now, the Broncos are next at +250.
The Broncos make some sense. I could definitely see the Broncos.
The Texans at +350.
No, they have Tyrod Taylor, and even if Deshaun Watson can't play, they have Tyrod Taylor.
The Steelers are next at +600 for Teddy B.
That doesn't make sense.
It feels like their project quarterback is already Dwayne Haskins. Like, they've already got one guy in house gobbling up a spot. If they bring in Bridgewater, it's clearly well, we expect, you know, Roethlisberger to get hurt.
Yeah, but I think they might draft a guy too. So, because doesn't Pittsburgh still have
Mason Rudolph
and Duck Hodges?
That's
you don't like Duck Hodges?
Duck Hodges.
They got all those guys.
It sounds like the name of
taking on Bridgewater.
It sounds like the name of a cartoon that a network would create when they don't want to pay for like Daffy Duck or Buck Rogers. Duck Hodges. Here we go. The Falcons plus 800.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
Dolphins plus 800.
Didn't they just sign Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah. And they're going with Tua. No, that one doesn't make any sense.
Well,
the Broncos makes the most sense because we had a guest on earlier this week, too, that tied them together. There's a guy, like a position coach with Denver who had Bridgewater at some point. There's a connection
the
there.
The GM in Denver now because Elway is.
Oh, Tannenbaum told us that, right?
Yeah, that's what Elway is kind of transitioning in his role.
So that one makes a ton of sense because that is an upgrade over Drew Locke. Some of these other ones, there's not really an upgrade. And wouldn't you just rather go young than bring in Bridgewater?
Well, the other thing, too, is I think the Dolphins are on that list. It's the whole in the event that they decide that they are done with Tua, what road do they go down? If they were done with Tua, you would have figured they. Yeah, maybe they're worried about the optics of spending what would have been the number three pick on another quarterback year after year.
I would do a little sprinkle on the Broncos. Would you say it was plus 200 there?
Plus 250.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, the Bears and the Lions are plus 1,000.
So the Patriots are not on the list.
Not on the list from the Degeneration Bets community for Teddy Bridgewater.
Maybe they know that Bill just loves Cam Newton so much. he's not gonna budge on this. He's got his quarterback.
You know what it is? They know that no one's going to bet on New England because nobody trusts Belichick to begin with. So from the pure profit standpoint, they might just be like, yeah, this guy ain't going to do anything.
But it's funny. Like you would think Chicago, Washington, and New England probably right now have the worst quarterback situations and Denver. So you would think those other three teams would all be on the list, even if they don't go there, just because, you know, a bettor might say, well, that team needs a quarterback. Boom, you know, here's $100.
Do you think Chicago is now like, man, we shouldn't have signed Dalton? No, because Bridgewater, I think for them, would have been a better fit for the way they run their offense than Andy Dalton.
I think Chicago and New England are in a similar spot where they grabbed Dalton and they grabbed Newton early on and we're like, all right, good, we have our floor guy. Like, we have a guy that's, you know, in place. And then Garoppolo's likely going to get traded, and Bridgewater's likely going to get traded, and both of those guys are better than those two guys.
And then whoever doesn't get either one of those two guys, maybe, then they can go to Garner Minshew.
Yes, now you're coming around.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying that's the next guy there on the list. All right, let's chime trend.
The exclusive home of Red Sox baseball. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Arch Painting. For a free estimate, call Arch Painting today at 1-844-ARCH-PAINTING. Visit them online at archpainting.com or download their app and get a free quote. Red Sox won their fourth straight, beating the Orioles 7-3 yesterday. Sox have the day off today, but get the Orioles again tomorrow. First pitch 7:05. Pre-game 6:05, and you can catch all the action right here on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. And if you're in the Boston metro area, you can listen to every Red Sox game this season on the Odyssey app. Make sure to download the Odyssey app today. Bruins beat the Capitals last night 4-2 as Jeremy Swayman is now 2-0 in his young NHL career. They go back to Philly to take on the Flyers tomorrow at 2. The Celtics will take on the Timberwolves tonight at 7:30. And after day one of the Masters, Justin Rose was leading the way at 7-under. Currently, Rose is still the leader. After bogeying the first, he then battled back, birdied the par 5 second, and has since parred the third hole and still sits at 7-under for the tournament.
What a live update that was. Holy smokes.
You know, I'm trying to
hole
be on top
by
of
hole
things.
On Justin Rose.
Yep, and Dustin Johnson, last year's tournament champion, is currently sitting at 2-over, won't tee off until 1:30 this afternoon.
He doubled 18 yesterday and about, like, stuck his own putter up his rear end. He was so
outside
mad.
Of Justin Rose, nobody had a great day yesterday.
No.
And Justin Rose had a historic 10-hole run where it was like 9-under through 10 holes, and that just got him to 7-under overall.
Well, Greg Hill did a complete breakdown on how they mowed the greens.
Ooh, I love that. I kind of wish I had
fast greens.
I'm going to have to make sure I go back in my Odyssey app and listen to that exact segment.
Good man.
Trending now also brought to you by the Dana-Farber Brigham and Women's Cancer Center, where everyone on your team specializes in your type of cancer and works to create a personalized care plan just for you. A plan focused on keeping you safe and defeating your cancer. Learn more at youhaveus.org. I'm Krishan. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
And a quick nod to the UMass hockey team who won 3-2 in overtime yesterday. They're going to play for the national championship. That is excellent stuff. And speaking of hockey, Jeremy led the sway for the Bruins last night. That's next.
This is the way.
Ham and Eggers, they are not Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
You think you know me.
Jeremy Lozon scores! Or maybe it was Zboril. Anton Bleed has a gift goal. Brad Marchand 2-on-1 with Patrice Bergeron on the net drive. Curl and drag. And Marchand scores his 30th shorthanded goal. Jakub Zboril, the defenseman, Coyle swivels it. I think it hit the post. Craig Smith scores. Jeremy Swayman beats the Caps in Washington. He's 2-0.
Oh, baby, we got something developing. Is there something brewing in between the pikes? Come on, man.
There's something brewing. I'm all in. I know it's early. I'm all in on swimming.
Have you been swayed into feeling that something is brewing?
Yes, this is the sway. I am all in on Jeremy Swayman. He does come with a lot of hype. Like, there was expectation that he was going to be good. Wasn't he like the Hockey East Player of the Year a year ago or 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. Like, there was definitely some hype about him. You knew that they had a good goal in the pipeline here for a little bit, and I know it's 2 games, but I'm in. He was so good in his debut, and then last night, another 30-plus saves. The 2 goals that are scored were both power play goals, one of which by Alexander Ovechkin, who's one of the greatest goal scorers in the history of the NHL. That was also what I was blown away by. They showed the stat last night where he ranks all-time in goals. He has 726 goals. Wayne Gretzky has the most at 894. And I always grew up thinking that Wayne Gretzky's stats will never be touched. Like, Wayne Gretzky, that's just like next level.
His assist record is like ridiculous.
It's insane. And like his points, what was the stat that it was like, if he didn't score any goals, he would still have more points than everybody else just based on assists. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
But he's only trailing him by 168 goals, and he's 35. And he's still scoring at an elite level. So this is an aside from Swayman, but Alexander Ovechkin might score more goals than Gretzky. He might be the greatest goal. He's right now he's sixth. He's gonna pass Marcel Dion this year,
yep,
probably. Then Brett Hull probably also this year. Jágr probably next year. Then Gordie Howe in a year or two, and then Wayne Gretzky. I think he's gonna pass Wayne Gretzky.
If he plays as long as Jágr did,
yeah,
with his,
oh, yeah,
talent,
yeah,
he should be able to. Like, the reason Jágr's up there is because he played until he's, what, like 46 or 47 or something like
Jágr's
that.
Jágr's like still playing.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's, Ovechkin's 35, but last year in an abbreviated year, he had 48 goals. The year before, he had 51. So he's still scoring at a crazy rate in his 30s. So anyway, that's just an aside. But I thought that was a record that would never, ever be touched. And yet, here's Alexander Ovechkin. Like, we are currently watching the greatest goal scorer in the history of hockey. So that's one of the goals that Swayman allows. Also, I think he has the record for most power play goals in a career as well. But I'm in. I love this guy. The Capitals are a tough opponent, and I don't know what, like, how they go about playing him the rest of the way. Like, let's see what happens. I assume if Rask and Halak come back, they'll both be there, and they'll send Swayman down. But if he gets a few more opportunities and keeps winning games, like,
yeah,
they're going to have a tough decision here.
Well, and you didn't have the total complete complement of defensemen last night as well, and that's something that I look at and say, okay,
yeah,
you
right,
know,
right.
Hey, he's finding a way to be able to win games, and they don't have the best version of their defense completely in front of him. We've been waiting for Kevin Miller. Kevin Miller played 25 minutes last night,
mm-hmm,
and that,
mm-hmm,
to me, that is a massive development for the Bruins because that's the guy who can play physical. I think his style does adapt well to the postseason once you get there. But if you're Bruce Cassidy right now, Keith, you have no reason to try to jam anybody else in there. Let the kid go play until he,
yeah,
starts soiling himself.
Right.
Or it's the whole, okay, I can see the signs that something bad is about to happen. Let's preserve him mentally. Let's get him out a little bit, coach him up, and then put him back in there. You know, whenever Rask and Halak are healthy and however that shakes down, then I'd be okay with that, clearly. But right now, you have to ride the kid.
Oh, I love it. Love it. And it's kind of a shot in the arm sometimes, too, that you see with these teams when they get a young guy or a guy that hasn't been there as much. And like, it kind of just lifts everybody up,
yep,
in a way. And again, you still have the trade deadline coming up on Monday. So there's another opportunity to sort of add and tinker with the roster. But Swayman has given them a little bit of a burst, or I think. And also good to see that you got some of the secondary scoring a little bit last night as well. Obviously, Marchand scores the shorthanded goal that was part of the highlights coming back. But
what a great move by by the way. Talk about Panson, the defenseman.
He's fantastic.
Fantastic.
But to get a Craig Smith goal, even though it was on the power play, just to sort of make sure you had the win there in the third period, that was good. The first period, getting a Lozon and a bleed goal, like, you'll take it. Anytime it's somebody other than the top line, you will happily take the goal.
617-779-7937. Let's slide in a call here. Sam from Maine wants in, talking some pucks. Sam, go. Glad that you hang with those kind of people, and if yes. you're that much of a loser, then God bless you. Fluto Shinzawa has a thing in The Athletic here mm-hmm. about some of the people who might be dangled, right?
Okay.
That Don Sweeney, basically, Fluto writes that Don Sweeney is in a jam, and consider the sticky situation surrounding four of his top pieces, and the first thing he mentions is the 2021 first-round pick. I would dare say that you and I are kind of there's no need for Sweeney to go in at that level.
Well, I actually wouldn't be opposed to it if it's a guy that's under contract for another year. I'm not doing the first round pick for a rental. I don't think there's a rental that puts them over the top necessarily. But if there's a guy that you think here's the opportunity to get him and he's going to be a part of the team going forward and can be a part of the core next season as well, Then I'm interested in it, because if they start playing well, like, that pick is going to be, what, in the 20s somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't, you're not trading a top five pick in the draft. So I would trade a first round pick, but I'd be very, very hesitant on a rental.
And then there's Studnicka, as Fluto writes, the organization's most NHL ready prospect up front. Mm-hmm. If needed, take some shifts or some of the shifts that David Krejci and Patrice Bergeron will end up leaving behind. And then, you know, Swayman ain't going anywhere now.
No,
then there's,
no.
And he writes about, you know, Jack, I hope I'm saying, Ahcan, A-H-C-A-N. There's Lauko, the winger. There are people that in the world of hockey, they would recognize all these names and that they're tradable commodities. But really, the goaltending is going to be, I think, the biggest. That and the health of the defensemen are the biggest right. pieces of even having a chance to go on any kind of run in the postseason. So it'd be nice if Don Sweeney could go get a name that we all could say, oh, great, good for him. He went and made a mood and made us all feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the dudes that are here. And really, those six defensemen and the goalie, that's what's going to get it done. Because I trust that the first line will find a way to push their will onto another team.
See, I would also, even not even just the prospects, but some of the guys that are on the team right now, if you wanted to trade them for an upgrade, I'd be all ears on that. Remember, like, a couple years ago, they traded Ryan Donato for Charlie Coyle.
Mm.
And I was like, Donato could be good down the road and whatever, but they got Charlie Coyle, and that's pretty much worked out. I didn't, you know, Danton Heinen was a guy that was playing every once in a while to be a healthy scratch. They traded him for Nick Ritchie. Now, last year, it seemed like a wash. Both kind of stunk, but Ritchie's been a little bit better this year. So if they took somebody like Jake DeBrusk and said, listen, we've been trying to force this guy out there. He's so inconsistent, but maybe another team sees him as a young guy. A couple years ago, had a pretty productive season. Maybe they would take him, and you get a guy maybe a little bit older, a little bit more reliable, and you make that switch. Like, I'd be all for that.
As long as it's for someone that's going to be here for a bit, I'm okay with that. Because if you're sacrificing a young player for a rental, that makes me skittish. Because as much as we're bullish on this team, I don't think there is that overwhelming expectation that it's the whole they can make a run, will they make a run? And I don't know, maybe you think there might be. I don't think there's one guy out there that Don Sweeney could go get and it'd be like, okay, this will, no pun intended, tilt the ice in our favor. I just don't know if there is that guy out there that can do that for this particular group.
Probably not. But again, it's also the hockey playoffs, just at its core, is a bit of a crapshoot. You know, like, these, once you're in the playoffs, it's so much more unpredictable. Whereas, again, we've made this point in the past, you know, in the NBA, we can probably say, all right, I know who's going to win this series. You're going to be right about 85% of the time. In the NHL, much different. You know, all of a sudden, say Tuukka comes back and he's playing outstanding, like, they're going to be a tough team to beat. But if he comes back and his head's not really in it, and once again, the top line's getting shut down, well, all right, they're going to be an easy exit. It's much more harder to predict.
Ovechkin scored his 20th last night. This guy, Brad Marchand, scored his 19th. And if he's good, then the Bruins got a chance come playoff time.
All right, now, this is a big week for our team. Playing Wash a few times, playing Philly, you know, a team obviously we're trying to catch and a team we're trying to stay ahead of. So it's crunch time. I mean, we have to continue to separate from the teams below us, and we have to build towards playoffs, regardless of who's in or out of the lineup every night. We have a goal that we want to achieve, you know, and it's progression. We don't need to be great start of the year. It's how you finish, and I think we're building and get better at the right time.
The only thing I didn't like was it's how you finish, because that's, I think, what like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown say as well. It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Well, no, that's true. I think, though, if they beat Philly in regulation tomorrow, that might be the death blow to Philly, because the Bruins have two games in hand and right now a 6-point lead. So if they ended up taking an 8-point lead with the number of games remaining, it might be too tough for Philly to catch him. And I know earlier in the week when they were kind of scuffling, or the Bruins were going win-loss, 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 said, you know what? It's not crazy to look at the standings. If they win tomorrow, I think you could take a deep breath. Now, they might still be the fourth seed in the division, whatever, but they're a playoff team.
Being safely is the point.
Yeah, it felt like, oh, my God, like, are we going to have to really pay attention and check what the Flyers and the Rangers are doing every single night, or are they going to be in the playoffs? And I think tomorrow it'll be really, really tough for the Bruins to miss out if they win tomorrow.
You can also watch this show as we do it. You can go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, or if you still type in WEEI.com/watch, that'll take you to the updated Odyssey version of being able to watch this show through the Odyssey app. Oh, Tristan Thompson. He had some stuff to say about a media member, and I don't know, we'll be the judge. Is he right or is he wrong? You'll hear the audio. You can judge next.
Like the show, then tell a friend. Kresh and Keefe on WEEI.
And I'm going to make up a word. Outness on Tristan Thompson is unbelievable. Mm. They've got to get rid of him.
What do you mean by that? Like, what made you feel that?
I feel like that has been a disaster. You know, he's in the safety protocols again. From what I was told, he won't stop going out. Of course, he's breaking the protocols. And so, like, because he's not, like, testing positive for this stuff, right? You're not getting the contact tracing and all the stuff that goes along with this. But, you know, he wasn't playing last night. He hadn't played, like, the last four games or whatever. I mean, like, and that has not, like, he doesn't want to play.
That is Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer spitting hot fire on Tristan Thompson. 10:49. Hi, Gresh and Keefe, WEEI, WEEI Sports Radio Network, Providence, Springfield, the Cape, Keene, Portland, Worcester. Good morning to all of you. And, well, now, old Tristan Thompson, he gets his situation squared away to where he can start to play a little bit, and then it's okay. I'm going to clap back at some of the people who were criticizing me.
He did. He actually played pretty well against the Knicks.
Agreed.
He did. And I've not been the biggest Tristan Thompson fan ever. Coming out of the draft, playing in Cleveland when they signed him here. Like, never been a huge fan. I understand he's a good offensive rebounder and blah, blah, blah. But he was good against the Knicks. So he hadn't played in a while. We haven't seen him in a while. And the only time we've talked about him is conversations like that. That was a few days ago from the Ringer podcast. And they were just talking about this guy's been in and out of the protocol all season long. He's missed all these games. Like, what the hell's going on? And so Thompson plays and
Now it's time for him to get a little chippy. Yep. So you heard what Kevin O'Connor had said. Here is the retort from Tristan Thompson.
I laugh because I think if you go into my 10 years of playing basketball, I don't think there's one teammate that doesn't like me in the locker room. So I knew that was full of that guy, Kevin O'Connor. I don't even know why I mentioned his name or not, because he doesn't deserve my 2 cents. But I remember every name because I'm like an elephant. So with him saying I'm not liked in the locker room, that was funny because that's not the case. It's never been the case. Yeah, so that was just him trying to get some clickbaits with my name. But I'm used to it. Why not mention my name, especially with our team going through, you know, up and down season like everyone's trying to say. So it makes sense to, you know, point out one of the veteran guys. So, but JB and Kemba came in and had their tweet. And, you know, Kemba doesn't ever tweet, and he tweeted that. And JB came and did the same thing. So that guy's wanted clickbaits. You're welcome, Kevin O'Connor, for using my name. It got you some more hits and some retweets. But that was a joke. And you can ask any of my teammates from 2011 when I played in NBA till now. I don't think there's one teammate that they don't like me, or even a trainer, equipment guy, a ball boy. I got a pretty good rapport in this league, so I'm not going to let some guy with Twitter fingers try to bring down what I've built. So good attempt, Mr. O'Connor, but I'm Teflon steel. You can't bring me down like that. I'm too blessed. I'm too blessed, and I'm too covered to be put down by your negativity or your reach.
I went to my coffee shop, and they said, not today, Cupcake, and it's weird. It's like, why are you calling me Cupcake?
Tristan Thompson, how about that?
Well,
he's angry at Kevin O'Connor. Yeah. I don't even know if all of that was O'Connor, right? Wasn't it the other guy who was doing the podcast?
There was some of that, right? But he's going to pile on him because he's the name and he's the guy who's one of the bigger writers there at the Ringer. And
friend of the show. We've had him on several times.
Yeah, look. Tristan Thompson, I think, is 28. He was drafted into the league as like a 20-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
He's still a young guy.
He is 30.
Okay, he's 30.
Grown man.
I will say this. I understand a little bit of where he's coming from because the life that he's lived is very different, right? You're 20. You're in the NBA. You're making a ton of money. You have a kid.
A reality star.
You have a kid with a Kardashian. So, yeah, you're blessed because you're paid for the rest of your life now, okay? But there's the human element of being 30, right? At 30, I reacted very badly to a lot of things. Maybe I might have wanted to choke someone. Maybe I might have said I wanted to choke them, you know?
I think I know who you're talking about.
But when you think of, like, I can understand him being butthurt over it because we haven't heard anybody like MFing him. We haven't heard anybody saying that this guy's a bum. But that doesn't mean the guys in that room, if he was going out, weren't looking at him with the whole, come on, man, why can't you get with the rest of us? It doesn't mean they dislike him, but it also doesn't mean that these guys maybe aren't grumbling behind his back a little bit because he wasn't following the protocols, if that's what was going on.
True, but he does seem pretty well liked, to be honest.
I agree.
I thought the same thing. I thought, oh, where there's smoke, there's fire a lot of times. But he points out, Kemba Walker has tweeted twice, I think, in the last 4 months. And one of them was to
about
say,
TT.
We love TT.
Yeah.
And Jaylen Brown, you know, another guy who doesn't tweet a ton, and he was talking about like it's not true. Brad Stevens was asked about it in a post game, and he kind of laughed about it. And that's never something I've heard about Tristan Thompson. In fact, he was so well liked by LeBron James that basically he got a huge contract in Cleveland because of their friendship.
There you go.
And I think he's well liked. Like, my problem with him isn't if he's liked or not. It's how good is he? We were told he can stop Joel Embiid. He goes up against Joel Embiid. Embiid scores a smooth 40 on him. And you're like, all right, well, that wasn't really much. So I have more of a problem with him as the player. And is he an answer for you, you know, with the big man problems that they've had in a while? It seems like he is, you know, clapping back this way because what was said about him, the teammates not liking him, is probably untrue. Now
I remember every name because I'm like an elephant.
See, great line. Great line. I love that line. Actually, I kind of like Tristan Thompson a little bit more because of the elephant line.
When Tristan Thompson's 40, he's going to look back at that and be like, oh, those people don't matter.
But you know what's funny is he talks about, no, the teammates do like me. They do like me. Well, what about the idea that you're being kind of stupid off the court and you've missed all these games? You didn't address that.
No.
You didn't address. So that part of it could still be true, right?
Be a pro. That's really what it is, right?
And you would think of all the guys on the team.
There you go.
Wouldn't Tristan Thompson, who has won a title
and has
been in the league for 10 years, he would be a pro more than Tatum or Langford or Brown or Pritchard or any of these guys? And so that part of it's a little odd. And yeah, so you could single out. So maybe Kevin O'Connor and the guys at the Ringer were wrong about whether you're liked, but how responsible have you been? You didn't address that.
There you go. I think somewhere in the middle lies the truth there. Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, we head into hour two, Aggression Keith, and we've got a grab bag of NFL stories and a noted quarterback guru who had great things to say about Cam Newton for 2021. We just pick stories. I want to get Keith's head to explode inside a month. This story might push him over the edge next.